Praise God. It is lovely to see the family together. It's nice to see our young children and teenagers back again. We missed Ashley last week, but it's great to see her this week. And Paige and I don't know if it's Kiana again. It's not, is it? Katana. I'm not used to these modern names. It used to be Sally and Jane. And
just call them what you want. They'll answer, won't you?
You might get a different name. But yes. Yeah, Mary and Martha. Yes, it's good to see everybody here. And yeah, well, I guess we've all had challenges this week. And we've all had blessings. But God's on the throne. He's in charge of us. He still loves us and nothing's changed that, has it? So I thank God for that. There'll be still some others on the way, but let's get started. Let's get together. And I think it would be good if you've got your Bibles, if we all stand and we read Psalm 103. There are some Bibles in the back, aren't there? Joan, can you bring us a few for the girls? Joan's just gone to fetch some Bibles through. So you can read with us. And don't get disturbed if your translation's different to mine. Just keep reading what's in front of you. It'll not be vastly different, but it'll bless you. I think there's something about actually seeing the words in front of you that are very good and inspirational and encouraging. It implants it in your memory somehow when you see it written. Psalm 103. I've got 22 verses. Is that the end of the psalm? Right, we'll read 22 verses, Bill. Amen. So let's stand and let's go with it. 1, 2, 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise God. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's say that last line again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's brilliant. Let's tell your soul. You bless the Lord, soul. because he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Sometimes we have to do that to ourselves, don't we? As David did. Why are you cast down, soul? Come on, praise the Lord, bless the Lord. I have everything to bless him for. Praise God. So we're going to bless God right now. I'm going to ask Andrew and Bill if they will lead us in worship. And let's give God our best. He gave his best. And he wants our best and nothing less. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence with us this afternoon. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing our paths. We thank you for directing our worship, for directing our words. Everything that's done, we thank you, it's in completely in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, that you will speak and minister to us this afternoon. And Father, I pray that our hearts will be good ground, receptive ground, for that word to take forth that seed and bring a mighty harvest in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Dawn and the kids. And Father, we say, let your blessing and your anointing be upon them also in Sunday school. We thank you for everything, Lord, you've called us to do today. And we give you praise. Amen. I was reading this morning a little bit about David Livingstone in Africa. And that man gave his life for the calling that God had called him to. And you probably all know the story how Stanley went out to look for him. And Stanley found him in deepest Africa and said to him, "You can come home now," he said, "because slavery is about to be abolished. And you've achieved your goal." And he said, "You can come home and receive the plaudits of men. And you can be acclaimed for the work that you've done here in Africa." And Livingstone said, "No, no. I don't want the plaudits of men. I want to fulfill the calling that God has placed upon my life. I want to invest my life in these people, in this nation. This is where my heart is." And he had the same purpose. He had the same vision that Jesus had. He wanted to come and willingly do it. And I thank God for men who were prepared to lay down their lives for the gospel. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus, that you were prepared to lay down your life. Your body was broken that mine might be made whole. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it so willingly. And Lord, you saw beyond your present circumstances, and I thank you for that. So, Father, as we eat this bread, we'll not forget what it cost you, and that here we are partaking of Jesus. So whatever your need is today, then as you take this bread, this is a contact point between you and God. And as you take it, you take into yourself the miracle, the provision, whatever it is that you need is here available for you. Let's not treat it lightly. Let's give God the respect that it demands. Our life and our all. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God's provision is amazing, isn't it? Lynn's not able to be with us this afternoon and we really miss her. But I thank God that he brought Dawn in. Dawn said, "Oh, I've done Sunday school this morning with the kids and loved it. Do you want me to do with Sunday school with these?" And I said, "Oh, that would be fantastic." So you're really privileged this afternoon, kids. Because Dawn's going to come and she's going to take you out of to the little room at the back and share something specially for you. So if you'd like to go, then feel free, take as long as it takes. Enjoy Sunday school. That's great. Cooperate with Dawn. And you'll all have a good time. I know, ooh, the sweetest to boot there. There'll be a few more big kids. Save us some sweeties. Yeah. Oh, it doesn't take much, does it? Well, this afternoon's an all-share session. So, who's going to be first to come and share something God's given to you that's special that you'd like to bring and bless everyone else? Thank you, Trace.
Thank you, Grace. I was looking at these little prayers this morning and decided I'd fetch two to read to you. The first one says, walk with God. Lord, how I long to walk with you. I pray for walking that leads to talking, and talking that leads to sharing, and sharing that leads to intimacy, and intimacy that leads to glory.
Yes.
Glory leading to glory upon glory. Teach me to walk with you, O Lord, so that I may walk with imprint in your footsteps,
yeah,
and the life might be totally taken by yours. Amen.
Oh.
And the other one was, baptize me, Holy Spirit. Plunge me, Holy Spirit,
oh, yeah,
into your ever-flowing stream.
Yes.
Wash me, Holy Spirit, with your precious blood. Baptize me, Holy Spirit, with such a tent seal that all I cherish is Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, that I might see Jesus in the mirror,
yeah,
of my actions.
Yeah.
Oh, that I might hear Jesus in the echo of my words. Oh, that I might feel Jesus flowing in my veins. Purify me in his likenessness. Melt me in his fire. Pour me out fiercely molten oil to anoint all life around me,
yeah,
with the power and grace. Amen.
Wow, that's powerful.
Nice one, Linda.
I believe that was two of Wigglesworth's prayers, wasn't it? And a mighty man of God. We've yet to see more Wigglesworth amongst us. Praise God. He believed God. And the Spirit of God worked mightily. In fact, I believe he broke bread every day in his own home. It was such a power connection point. He knew that without God, he could do nothing. And we're all the same. We can do nothing. We're just clanging vessels without him. Everything that needs to be done, it's got to be God that does it, if it's going to be effective for him. So anybody else? Come on. Praise God, Ray. Thank you. We thank God for Ray and his encouragement. He's had a challenge this week, but thank God he's more than a conqueror. Amen.
Hello.
Amen. Hello.
Two books I've been reading this week have really spoken to me about God's truly amazing and awesome love for us. But first, let me tell you that, as most of you know, Lynn and I walk the dogs at around 6 most mornings. Yes, 6 o'clock falls twice every day. On Tuesday morning, we saw a most wonderful sight. The sky was blue, but there was a fair amount of fluffy cloud. These clouds must have been many hundreds of yards, if not miles, thick, and were layered layer upon layer. So much so that if the scene was turned upside down, you would have thought you were looking at the most amazing seascape. The rising sun was painting these clouds the most beautiful shades of pinks and reds. It would have taken a very talented artist to reproduce the sight we saw.
Yeah.
We were both awestruck by the beauty of it. As I have said, only the most talented of artists could have captured the scene. But as we walked, the cloud formations were constantly changing. It showed me that not only is God the most talented healer, life giver, generous giver,
yes,
and so many other superlatives, he is also the greatest artist that ever was or ever will be.
Yes.
Earthly artists can paint a masterpiece, but only God can paint masterpieces every second of every day. Now to the books. The first was written by George O. Wood and was called Living Fully and talked of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It showed me that the first fruit is love, and no other fruit can develop without it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all the remaining fruit, describes love in action. Yes. Love rejoices. Love brings peace. Love perseveres or patiently overcomes. Amen. Love brings kindness. Yes. Love brings forth the best or goodness. Yes. Love never deserts but stays faithful.
Amen.
Love gentles. Love displays self-control. All the above are the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes,
fruit comes from trees.
Mm.
Well, this tree, Christ is the root.
Yes.
Love is the trunk. And all the remaining fruit are the branches. Perhaps you may take an inventory of yourself and ask, am I operating fully in all the fruits? If you're not sure, then ask someone you trust and itemize them. Am I loving? Am I joyful? If the answer to any of them is no, we know what to work on. The second book I've been reading is called Treasures of Hope, and tells of Hope House, a part of Teen Challenge, and the amazing transformations that occur in the young women who go into the programs at this wonderful establishment. A small group of us went some months ago to a praise meeting where some of the ladies who had been through the program were entertaining us and giving their testimonies. It was one of those evenings that you never ever forget. We all bought the book, which was on sale there, and I've been reading it this week. The best way I can sum it up is to borrow the words of one of the young ladies who have been through the programme. Her name is Angel, and in Latin, angel means a messenger of good news.
Amen.
Her words, Hope House is a beautiful facility, built for restoring lives.
Amen.
When you walk through the doors, you instantly feel the love that built this house. I went in broken and dispirited, but God's amazing love brought me through. I would be dead today in mind, soul, and possibly body if it were not for the gift of God and his love.
Wow.
I'm finished now by reading a poem by one of the other girls, Chloe. Chloe went in addicted to heroin, and she'd never ever written before she went in. But I don't mind, I'm not ashamed to admit that when I first read this poem, I was moved to tears. I sit down quiet, and with a long deep sigh, I put my head in my hands, and I start to cry. I'm not crying with pain, hurt, or sadness, but I'm crying with love, joy, and gladness. I can't believe what Jesus has done for me.
Yes.
He's died for me and set me free.
Amen.
All of my sin has been washed away. I'm forgiven and loved in a special way. Although I'm crying, I have peace inside. I love you, Jesus, because for me, you died.
Yes.
You suffered for me and died a terrible death. You were hung on a cross until you took your last breath. With nails through your hands and nails through your feet, you left this world, but you were not beat.
No.
You rose again for the world to see.
Amen.
That you are Lord, and you died for me.
Wow.
I love you, Jesus, and for you I weep. And tonight I will cry myself to sleep.
Wow.
Good.
Thank you.
I'm going to call this presentation. Can you hear me? Is it working?
Yes.
I'm going to call this presentation When You Look for the Bad, but I'm going to morph into that slowly because I'm going somewhere else first. I want to start with Luke 14:12-14. Luke 14:12-14. One of my favourite chapters, this actually, Luke 14. It says in my version, which is the NASB, and he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, otherwise they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. When you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. What we've got here is a problem. Most people in this church and every other church and everywhere else is that we've often heard it said, it's better to give than to receive. So we have no difficulty giving in this church, but we do have a difficulty receiving. Now, if it's better to give and than it is to receive, then if you don't receive something but you're all right to give it, are you being selfish, thinking only of yourself, thinking I'm getting the better end of the bargain? But if you don't receive it, then you can't give it. I was once, along with three other people, went to somebody else's house. We had a meal. And when we came out of that house, we got in the car, and one of the other people said to the other, we'll have to invite her around to our house now. Well, why? Yeah. Why? That's payment. You know, some people give me things. I mean, supposing I was to pay Ken Foster everything I owe him for all the journeys he's given me here. 5 years he's been bringing me here. Yeah. How much do I owe him? In the early stages of that, I did offer to share cars with him. But in his kindness, he refused. He preferred to do it all in his car, and he won't accept any payments towards the petrol. So I don't keep offering. I'm not going to get on his nerves with it. Yeah. What I was going to lead to is that when you visit somebody's house, you're not going to a restaurant. You don't get... Nobody comes to you and says, this credit card's no good. Have you got another one? Or can I have the cheque, please? We don't do that. I used to know a bloke called Kevin when I worked at Radio Barnsley, Hospital Radio, many years ago. Gave him a Christmas card. Oh, not another Christmas card. Oh, that means I've got to go out and buy you one now. Oh, that's what we got for him. Well, you don't have to buy me one. I wouldn't notice you if you didn't. See, what it's based around, this is pride. And this is what I'm talking about here today. We've got pride. We had, you know, I once offered to give somebody a lift home. And initially he accepted the offer, and then later on he refused the offer. But then he changed his mind again and accepted the offer. And when I got in the car and I gave him a lift home, I says, look, I says, I'm not Ken. I'm not like Ken Foster. I says, when I offer something, whether you want it or not, or whatever you say, yes or no, it ends there. I'm not going anywhere else with it. I'm not going to come and say, it's no trouble, I don't mind. It's all right, I don't mind. I'm not going through that process. If you want it and you say no, then you're not going to get it. And that's the end of it. It finishes.
That's black.
Well, it is. And then in the car, he tries to give me 10 quid. It's this pride factor. People just cannot receive something. We've got to accept that we get to a stage in our lives where we have to become dependent on others. It's going to happen to me. The biggest thing, the worst thing you can lose is your own independence. And it's going to happen to me eventually. I'm not going to be able to cut my lawn all the time. I'm not going to be able to dig my garden or maybe even do my housework. I might have to rely on social services 10 years from now. I don't know. But you have to get rid of the pride factor and say, yeah, this is the time. Come to a time when we have to do that. Well, the things is telling people when they're wrong. I have a problem with that. I used to tell people when I thought they were doing something wrong. Andrew once says to me, he says, I'll tell Bill when I think he's wrong, and I hope he'll tell me when I do something wrong. Well, quite frankly, I don't, I wouldn't, and I won't. And the reason for that is, well, there's several reasons. This is nothing personal to anybody. No, I'm not with this. This is generic to everybody. I said out when I came out here a few weeks ago that I've never heard anybody say to me, Bill, I was wrong, you were right. So I find if you tell people they're doing something wrong, they're immediately on the defensive. They'll defend their own actions. They'll convince you that you're probably mistaken. It's like I go in Tesco on the morning for a cup of tea and a bite to eat in the cafe. Get me a cup of tea, go to the checkout till there's nobody on it. I stand there waiting. I can hear them out back, yap, 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 gossiping away. And I might be there 10 minutes till my tea's gone cold. And then when they come out and see me, it's my fault. You should have shouted. I should have done something. Not that they should have taken responsibility of doing the job properly and observing the counter, making sure the customers are being served. No, I have to do it. So it's my fault. But the other thing is that who am I? Who's to say I'm right? If I tell you you've got something wrong, who's to say I'm right and you're wrong? You might be right, I might be wrong. So that's why I won't step on those toes anymore. I used to do and not doing it anymore. Most of us, we have an inability to listen. I remember Joyce Mayer saying this week, says if I was meant to speak more than listen, I'd have been given 2 mouths and 1 ear. So in Proverbs 9:7 as well, it says, I mean, it's not the sort, not the exact terminology I would use this. It says, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonour for himself. And in verse 9 of that, it says, teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. Proverbs 10:17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof, which means expression of disapproval, goes astray. I haven't got rid of all my pride yet. I'm still guilty of it. It cost me 65 quid last week, that pride.
Was it worth it?
No, it wasn't worth it. It was called a parking fine. See, I think I know it all sometimes, full of myself. I was in London, I parked my car on Trafalgar Square, on a disabled bay. There are four disabled bays on Trafalgar Square, just outside Canada House. There's a bay suspended sign on them. And they're my best friends normally, the bay suspended signs, because the bay suspended signs are instantly seen by people looking for somewhere to park, and they think, oh, I can't park there, and they drive on. But what they don't know is there's a sticker on each bay suspender sign and it's got instructions and it tells you, it's in small print, it tells you when it's going to be suspended, what bay is suspended, and it might not even be that bay, it might be one across the street. And people don't know that. So that's why many disabled bays in central London are left vacant for me to come along, and there I am full of myself thinking, oh, I know all that, I can't read all this, I'll read a bit, I don't just drive on here. So I read the bit, and out of the four suspended, out of the four bays, only one of them suspended. The other three are not. The yippee. And I read on. It says the one nearest Pall Mall East is the one that's going to be suspended. It's 6 metres in length and all that stuff. Right. Oh, I know where Pall Mall East is. That road that runs along the bottom. So instead of parking in one of the middle two bays, which I would have exonerated me from any blame whatsoever, I parked at the far end. And when I come back, there's a ticket on my windscreen. I'm not paying that. I'm going to question that. I've got proof. I've taken a picture of that. It's that sign. Blah, 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 blah. And I thought, hang on, where's Pall Mall East? It's that road behind me. So it's 130 quid or 65 quid if I pay him in 14 days, so I've paid it. So that was a lesson for Bill. So I'm not there yet. We are a work in progress, yeah. That's right, yeah. Right, when you look for the bad, expecting to find it, you surely will. That was a saying by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
He said that. Somebody told me this week, politicians are all bad. It says, government doesn't like our age group. He's slightly younger than me, only slightly. They don't like our age group at all, the government. MPs, politicians. Says to him, oh, that new car you drive around in, did you buy it? Road tax, did you pay your road tax on it? You pay your council tax. Where do you get your income from? Where do you get your health care from? Who pays for your bus and train travel? Who pays for your prescription? Who pays for your dental care and your eye tests? The government provides all of that. I bet they don't provide it where Dharma comes from in this country and other countries in Africa. But it's only bad news that there is news, isn't it? We've got the South Yorkshire Police in the news at the moment. Nobody talks about the good they do. It's the corrupt organisation now, and even the Church of England this morning is praying for justice to be done to them. Whatever happened to forgiveness? It's 23 years ago when that incident happened. Is there room for forgiveness, or does everything have to be sealed with justice?
You know, can I get one bad incident in hospital? Somebody dies from the treatment they've got in hospital. That's just one incident. That I'm not going to that hospital again. See the treatment they give, they kill somebody. That was poor on Joyce Meyer's voice when she's mocking. Well, you know what they're doing? You know? You'll never believe what they're doing at number 52. I've got a story that's going to surprise you that happened to me this week on Monday. I was up at Leeds University and I came out of there at school turning out time, got on a bus to take me to a Leeds station. The bus was absolutely packed with school kids. It was so packed I couldn't get further than the platform where the driver, alongside where the driver sits. It was packed upstairs and downstairs. You'd expect when it's full of teenage kids, it's all secondary school kids, you expect to be hearing rowdy behaviour, obscene language and just general mucking about, which is the impression that we get of young people. Because to be honest, that's how it were in my day, when I used to go to school on bus, 1959-60. Anyway, got to the city centre and all these kids piled off. I thought, where are they all coming from? There looks like 500 or 600 of them, all rolling down steps. But, you know, almost every one of them thanked the driver, and some of them looked me in the eye and thanked me for standing aside for them to let them get past them. Wow. And I thought, wow, you know. But I thought, I'm not going to read about this in Daily Mirror tomorrow.
No.
If they'd vandalised bus and wrecked it, I'd have read about that. Yeah. Right. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
He's true to form. What you see is what you get. Amen. And we love him for it. Yes. Yeah. He has blessed us so many, many times with his honesty. Some of us don't say it, but think, yeah, I identify with this. Thank you, God. We're all different, aren't we? And I thank God he's made us unique. Praise his name. Dharma, were you about to share? It's okay. Anybody else ready to share? Christine?
Imagine yourself in this situation. Now, this is a pastor telling this story. A pastor of a big church tells a story of a time when he was stuck in a lift with a very drunk, vomiting man. Now then, eager to get out of the situation as fast as possible, the pastor made his escape and walked back to his room, all the while mentally criticising the guy. But that night, God spoke to him about it and said, "You criticised and laughed at him, but I loved him enough to die for him."
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yes.
It is. Relying on our willpower to love others isn't enough, because it will fail us. We are left with no other choice here. We must connect to God's source of love, the same love that he died for, the least and the worst, and treated them as human beings, just as in need of help as anyone else.
Yeah.
Yes, even that person you might be holding a grudge for in your heart. I'd like to ask you all, Are you walking in bitterness, unforgiveness or judgment with a friend, a family member, a neighbour or a church member? If you are, it will not please God. Are you walking as a carnal Christian? Being born again means you have to live this way. Being born again means you do not have to live this way. Joyce Meyer has broadcast stories about her brother who made himself a victim of his feelings and how she chose to walk with God and his ways despite her feelings. You can choose to think right even if your feelings don't match up. She did as God told her to do, and she cared for her father after she had suffered years of abuse from him. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 44. Now this is what Jesus is saying. You have heard that it is said, You shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But this is what I am saying to you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. This shows us a radical way that Jesus loved people. I personally have asked God to speak to me about specific people in my life that relate to these verses, and I've prayed for the ability to live this out towards them. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. This means that once there's a clear path from your transformed heart to your mouth, God's likely to be fairly happy. So chew on your words and figure out the taste of them before you let them out of your mouth. Think them over. Christ's words brought life. Are yours going to drop bombs or raise a white flag? Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and keeps his... Sorry, I'll start that again. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. The devil thrives on feelings. It is how he runs earth. You will get feelings, but you must not feed them. How do we do this? By forgiving a person whilst you are still mad. Do not bow down to your feelings. We must pray for our enemies, for that friend who has let you down, a brother or sister who hasn't supported you. We have to love them despite of our feelings. Now then, forgiveness and prayer are extremely important, and not holding bitterness and judgment in your heart is extremely important for all your own, for your own well-being. It will give you peace and draw God's love and light closer to you. It doesn't mean that we have to associate with that person. You have to spend time with like-minded people and remember about being with people of equal yoke. I am so thankful to God for teaching me this and the situations I have been in to experience what I am trying to get across to you all this afternoon. Thank you.
On Wednesday we had a good time together. We were talking about forgiveness, and many, many salient points came out of that meeting. And I know quite a few of us learnt things, and it was good. It is good. I encourage you on a Wednesday. It's more family round a table with a cuppa, and we share our hearts and we learn. And I thank God for the things that he's teaching us, how to live the Christian life. Praise God, not by rules or regulations, but from a heart that is given over to God. Anyone else? Ivy, over to you, love.
This is, fear not, God's on your side.
Yes.
Can you think of a time in your life when you needed to press through something in faith? Mm. Maybe you're going through a trial of some kind of right now and you're struggling to stay positive. In times like that, it's nice to receive encouragement from family and friends, but ultimately we need to decide for ourselves that we will have victory. If you think about it, almost nothing worthwhile happens in life without having to press through some areas of difficulty. It's just part of the journey. The fact is, we can either suffer the pain or fight in our battle to the finish, or we can give up and suffer the pain of defeat. I've come to realise it's better for me to do what God requires of me from the beginning, because the truth is that he always has my best interest at heart.
Amen.
He is not going to change his mind. Sometimes God delivers us from hardship, and sometimes he takes us through it. The choice is up to him. He knows what we need. When we need it, and when we're in the midst of a struggle, It helps to ask this question: am I willing to serve God and not understand everything? If we're only willing to serve God, then everything's going our way. When we aren't trusting him entirely, we need to serve God at all times, even when we don't feel like it. One thing you must remember is that God is always with you, and he is always for you. The enemy wants us to forget that. So each time we experience progress on our journey of pressing through something, he will try to take it back. The enemy tries to get us caught up in a lot of negative thoughts and feelings. Rejection, betrayal, abandonment, jealousy, discouragement and depression. And sometimes even disappointment in God. When the enemy is pressing against us, we have to continue to stand in faith and press into God's word, yes, keeping our eyes fixed on the promises he's given us. I encourage you to make up your mind and say, I don't care how long it takes or how hard it is to get through this. I'm not giving up. I am not going to live in bondage. I am not going to let my past control me. Amen. In Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul writes, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him is death. Do you see what Paul is saying? There's a place spiritually where we can be lifted above every evil thing. Mm-hmm. This means that no matter how people treat you, you can have God's joy in your heart. Amen. And no matter what kind of storm you're in, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. I believe God wants us to press on for more than what he has in store. He wants us to enjoy the journey, and above all, he wants us to have a life that affects other people in positive, life-giving ways. People who press in and press on are those who do great things for God, and every single one of us can live like this by God's grace if we choose to do it, because God never asks us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14 tells us to forget what lies behind, yes, and strain forward to win the prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling upon us. Yeah. The best way to do that is to take life one day at a time, because we're living in a world filled with trouble and stress. It takes a lot of power to live in victory today. Amen. There are many things that happen in life that come against us, disappointments, offences, etc. But God chose us to live at this time in history, and he knows what he is doing. With his help, we can get through the trials and troubles we face and be victorious over them. So today, I simply want to encourage you to press on. Remember, you already have the victory because God is on your side.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Indeed, God is on our side.
Yes.
I heard Grace mentioning somebody who used to break bread in the house every day. And I heard Rebecca saying it has been 8 years that she's in this country. She does go to church every Sunday, and this is the first time she breaks bread.
Wow.
I just want to read a text in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. From verse 3, it's a kind of follow-up of what Ray shared with us and what we've just heard. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the table of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Verse 5, where you've just stopped there, saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I can stop there. Thank you. God bless you.
Just share a quick story here that I was reading today. It's about a lady who chose to remain anonymous, never asked that her name be known. And she had no children of her own, and she went to an orphanage in Iowa, and she asked for a child to adopt. And she said, they brought children out, and she said, there was one little girl there who, to quote the lady's words, was the ugliest child of all and had a huge hunchback. And God said to her, that's the child. And she said to the matron, matron, I want to adopt that little girl. And the matron said, I'll gladly let you adopt this little girl because nobody else wants her. She says, the only redeeming thing about her is a name, and a name is Mercy Goodfaith. And so this lady adopted Mercy Goodfaith. And this lady was a lady of love. She knew the love of God, and she poured love into Mercy Good Faith. 35 years later, the lady who was the matron of the original orphanage had become an inspector, and she went round the orphanages to do an assessment on them. And she went to this particular orphanage, and her report was, it was the most well run, the cleanest, the atmosphere was tremendous, and the children were so loving, responding to the matron who oozed love from her eyes. And that matron was Mercy Good Faith. So, you know, this lady chose to remain anonymous and invested her life in somebody who was completely, in the world's eyes, a reject. But there's never any rejects with God, only successes. We're all loved. And so praise God for the lady who adopted Mercy Good Faith. Anybody else with anything to share? Well, thank you everyone for contributing. And I believe, have we got a prayer list, Joan? Ray's mum, I think it would be good to remember Ray's mum.
We prayed a few weeks ago for that young man that was beaten up in when he came out of a pub, but his mum came into the shop where Jackie works and said it wasn't that story. He didn't pick somebody's drink up, but he did go out, and he was a placid lad, this one. The other one would have was a really rowdy one, the other brother, but this one's placid. But he went out, but somebody did knock him down with one punch. But she says that they've been going to Tickhill and taking him round in his wheelchair. His right leg's got some feeling come back in it, and he's speaking better. She says he'll never be like he was before. I thought, well, you don't know our God.
No,
don't underestimate him.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for that update, Joan. So, yeah, let's continue to believe God. His name is Andrew, for a miracle in Andrew's life, that God will speak to him through this situation, turning bad into good. Our God's a master. He really is. Yes, anyone else that we you would like us to pray for. We thank God for a good... God is working on Tracy's daughter's situation, and it's not as black as it first looked. And praise God. We gave it to God. We took our hands off it, didn't we, Tracy? And he's coming back. He's turned it round. Amen. God's turned it round because we let go and let God and said, hey, over to you, God. There's nothing more. We don't want to get involved. So don't muddy the waters. If you've got a problem, give it to God and leave it there. He is a master at giving you the best result. Amen. So we'll pray for Ray's mum, Vera, and for Andrew, that there be a continuation of the improvement in his body, and that the kingdom of God shall come and be done in his life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that nothing is hidden from your sight, and nothing is impossible to you. We thank you, God, we can come to you with confidence every time, because it's your power, and it's your ability, and it's your anointing. You're the healer, you're the deliverer, you're the restorer of our souls. And Father, I thank you for the testimonies we've heard this afternoon of your great and powerful work. And Father, I thank you for what you've been doing in Andrew's young life. I give you praise, Lord, that he's much improved, and Lord, there's still a way to go, but Lord, you haven't finished with him yet. And so, Father, we say, let there be a complete work done, a work of restoration in Andrew's life. And Father, let the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done there in his life and his family's life, that, Lord, the devil will regret he ever put a finger against this kid, because, Lord, it will just turn round to beat him up. And Lord, you will be found to be faithful and to be honoured in this situation and bring many into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for Ray's mum. I thank you, Lord, for how you have kept her. And Lord, you have protected her at this time. And Lord, I pray that there will be a complete healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. That, Lord, she shall be fully restored to health and strength, and that there'll be no after effects of this stroke. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Father, we pray for your divine wisdom and strength for Ray at this time, that you will uphold him with your righteous right hand, and that, Lord, he shall know that peace that passes all understanding, guarding his heart and mind. That, Lord, he shall have joy unspeakable and full of glory in this situation as he's given it to you, and let you, Lord, work on it. We give you praise. We thank you for what you've done in Tracy Ann's children, Lord, in this situation with the father. Lord, I thank you that you're turning it around, and Lord, in far from it being a curse, it's been a blessing, and it will continue to be a blessing, and we give you praise. Father, we ask for divine protection over Pauline and Ken as they travel home tomorrow. Thank you for giving them a good time, for refreshing them and blessing them. Thank you for your divine provision wherever we've seen it this week. Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. And we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Yes, Andrew.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God be for us,
absolutely.
Who can be against us?
No.
Praise God.
Amen.
Fantastic statement. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he who also with him freely gave us all things, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather was raised,
yes,
who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us.
Thank you, Lord.
And then I just want to look at these few verses, the next few verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Nothing.
And then it lists 17 things. 17 things. Is that the name? That's the number of the abyss.
The devil throws everything out of the abyss at him.
The devil will throw everything. He threw everything at Jesus.
Yeah.
And for 3 days he thought he'd won.
Yeah. But oh, big mistake.
Dharma and I, we were saying, I said something yesterday. Dharma and I was with us yesterday, and I said, nothing could kill Jesus. They couldn't kill Jesus. He said, oh, we had a debate about that in Bible college. Some said he could, you know, they could kill him. Others said they couldn't. Well, I said, my belief is you couldn't kill Jesus because it says he surrendered his life unto the death.
Yes.
He said, I have the power to surrender my life,
yeah,
and I have the power to take it back up again.
Yeah.
So you try and kill me, he said.
You can't.
You can't. They made a number of attempts at him and he carried on and walked away.
Yeah.
So I always believe that Jesus surrendered his life, gave it up for you and for me.
Amen.
You see, that which is pure, spotless and without sin cannot die.
No.
Adam was created like that in the beginning. We were talking about Wednesday night. We were just going through some things. We had a great time on Wednesday. But let's get back to this. So the devil will throw everything at us. He'll throw the whole bag of mashings. He will throw everything he's got, all his arsenal, all hell,
yeah,
all its fury.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at some of its fury. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
No.
Oh. What am I going to do? Or distress?
No.
Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We heard that earlier on this afternoon. Dying. Got to die.
Yeah.
We have to die to self.
Yeah.
Bill said it, I believe.
Yeah, I do.
Every morning you get up, you got to kill it.
Yeah.
Kill the flesh.
Absolutely.
That wants to do what it wants to do. Glory to God. You know, you're comfortable in bed, and there you are. Let me stay here. Oh, there's a victory to win. There's a victory to go for. There's things to do for the kingdom of God. He said, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's what it looks like at times. That's why you don't get too many people joining church. Want it easy. And the easy way is not to commit yourself to anything.
That's it.
Just go with the wind. Just go with the tides. In and out. In and out. Where have you been? I've been in and I've been out. Where have you been today? I've been in and I've been out. Well, where else did you get to? Well, I went in and I went out. Really? And what did you see when you went in and you went out? I just saw the winds and the waves, the effects of it going in and out. Oh. Life is exciting, they say. No, they have to go for drink, drugs, alcohol and everything else and sex to make life exciting, because all the time they're just going in and out. In and out.
Yeah.
And yet going nowhere.
Yeah.
But we've been somewhere. You ask somebody who's been out on the town, they got absolutely plastered last night. Did you have a good night? Yeah. Well, how do you know he had a good night? Well, I can't remember a thing about it, but I've got a blinding headache, so I must have had a good night. Going in and out. In and out. And they do the same routine. And we're having a great time. Really? Well, I find going in and out and in and out quite boring. Because I believe God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a journey. Yeah, on a journey, you don't go in and out. In and out, because you're going nowhere. We're moving forward. We have a direction to go. That's right, we have a destination. And the wind of the Spirit breathes upon us and pushes along the journey. Moves us forward. Your mouth, your tongue, gives you the direction of where you're going to go. Yeah, we might get a bit of persecution. We might be considered as sheep. Well, sheep follow the shepherd. Sheep go for good pasture. Because the shepherd leads them into good pasture. Psalm 23. He's the good shepherd.
Yes.
Goodness and mercy.
Amen.
Are there to move us on into his presence constantly. Verse 37 says, but in all things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
We're not just fighting the fight.
No.
We're not just holding the fort.
No.
He says, you are an overwhelming conqueror. In other words, bring them in the ring and you just whip them in the first round. They won't get through to round two.
Amen.
When the word of God is in you, when the power of God is in you, when the enemy comes against you, the Spirit of the Lord, like a flood, lifts up a standard against him.
Amen.
The devil is not coming in like a flood.
No.
Because you have to remember there are more for us than there are against us.
Yeah.
When the angels that were kicked out of heaven, those fallen angels, they're more still on the side of God than there are against God.
Yeah,
the Bible says and teaches that only a third of the angels fell. Mm. So there are more for us than there are against us.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. And so when the enemy comes in, it's like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him.
Amen.
The love of God rises like a tide.
Yes.
And pushes back darkness.
Amen.
Pushes back the oppression and causes us to move forward and gives us a destiny. It's the love of God that gives us a destiny. It's the love of God that gives us a purpose.
Yes.
It's the love of God that gives us a future. Because without the love of God, we've got nothing.
No.
God is love. Everything about God is love.
Yeah.
And because of his love towards you and me, he has given you a future. He's given you a purpose. He's given you a hope. And so nothing can come against you. That should be able to stop that purpose, that hope and that love moving you to your destination. But you and I have to stay in this book, this word.
Amen.
To understand and to receive the love of God, you have to stay in this word. And this word will bring life.
Yeah.
Verse 38, Paul goes on to say, for I am convinced. Are you? Or do you need some persuading? A lot of Christians today need a lot of persuading, yeah?
Yeah.
Like Bill said, that questionnaire, how long have you been a Christian? It's taken a few years probably to persuade him. The Word of God's been working on him.
Amen.
Not us, the Word of God.
Amen.
Is that right? We've just been here for him. And the Word of God's been working on him. When you let the Word of God work on you, you see, the Word works. The Word changes you. I can scream at you all I want. And for the majority of you, you're that thick-skinned, you're that stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious, you ain't changed, because sheep are all the same. Don't care what breed they are. Don't care what nationality they are. They're all the same. Stiff-necked, rebellious. And I can rant and rave all day at you. I can get frustrated with you. I'm not the most patient of people. You tried my patience. You stretched it to the point of breaking. Some people do that. They stretch our patience to the point of breaking. And when our patience breaks, you just have to say, oh God, God, you deal with them. Because I can't. I've told them what your word says. We've tried to live before them the example. Now, unless they all taste and see that God is good, there is nothing I can do for you. We can cook a meal. And it can look absolutely delicious. It can smell wonderful. But if you don't sit down and eat it, you don't get any of the benefits.
No.
It was a waste of time. Yeah, it looked good, smelled good, but it did not do you any good. That's why we've got to all taste and see that the Lord is good. We've got to partake of the Lord. It's like even our breaking of bread service. Every week, we come and we break bread in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Why? Because He's our life. He's our Savior, He's our salvation, He's our healer, He's everything that we have need of. And I do not understand why churches do not break bread. The religious churches, as the evangelicals term them, break bread every week. The Roman Catholic Church break bread probably every day. They have a mass service, as they call it, every day. And people attend. I know there are evangelical churches. Well, we do it once a year. All right. So obviously, it's a bit like the Old Testament. We go once a year into the Holy of Holies and we'll, you know, have a sacrifice. It says in Scripture, and I'm off the loop a bit now. Do this as often as you can, as often as possible, in remembrance of me. So that means, in some churches, they only remember Jesus once a year. Well, when you listen to the praise and the worship and everything else that goes on, he's probably right. You see what? It is not about you. It's all about Jesus. Without Jesus, I have nothing. Nothing to give, nothing to offer, and I've got nothing for my future. But with Jesus, he says all things are possible.
Amen.
And all things are possible for each and every one of us. Yeah. Paul goes on to say, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, you see, no matter where they're coming from, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, you and I can only receive the love of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love forgives. Love does not judge. Love is kind. You go to Galatians 5:22, I think we've already had it said. You know, these are the fruit of the Spirit. How do you know a disciple?
By their fruits.
By their fruits the word shall ye know them. Go to Galatians 22, you'll find out what the fruit is. And if somebody tells you they're a Christian and there's no fruit there, guess what? They're not. They're simply a sucker. Because the sucker does not produce fruit.
No.
Do you know something, Graham? Yesterday, after you gone, do you know what I found in my garden? Yeah, I found a sucker off my plum tree. And that thing was over 10 foot long.
Yeah.
I'd never saw it grow. It just disguised itself and was hidden within the tree and hid itself in some other trees. Reminds me of the devil.
Yeah.
So I cut it out. I got rid of it, you know. But just like the Bible says, my father's the gardener.
Yes.
And he comes up and he says, I've got some pruning shears here. Okay, we need to remove something in your life. There's something going on that needs to be cut out.
Yeah.
And he starts coming around with them pruning shears. You know? I got some big ones, the extent so you can get more, you know, thicker the branches. Just pull the levers out a bit more and you've got some, yeah, they're real good loppers and I can chop off great big limbs with them. This is in the wrong place. It's doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. Sometimes God has to do that to you and me. Oh, it can be painful. Do you know why he does it? He does it because it says in here, God is love.
Yeah.
And he loves you. And it's through Christ Jesus in your life and in my life. And so nothing shall be able to separate us.
Amen.
Who shall be able to separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. And the only reason that can be possible is when we let this book, when we let Jesus come into our lives and be a deep, real relationship, a 24/7 relationship that we have with him. When we do that, we'll see the power of God changing things. We'll see the power of God moving things in a different dimension.
Yeah.
We will see things change that we never really expected to change. Because God is the God of the impossible.
Amen.
So many people say, oh, that's impossible for that to happen. Well, that's great. What an opportunity for my God.
Amen.
You tell me it's impossible, that's great. God says, just call me in on that one. Because that's what the Bible says. Yeah, with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Praise his name.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so when you say impossible, God says, did somebody call?
Amen.
It's like God saying, did somebody call my name? The moment you say impossible, God says, oh, somebody's calling me. Him possible. It's not impossible, it's him possible. Praise his wonderful name. You stick God in there. You see, the Jews, when they used to speak about God, God really was just simply, that's what it was, the breath. Because when God created Adam, he created him as that shell. And then God breathe life. Breathe his name. Into Adam. And it came to life. And when you say impossible, you just have to breathe the life of God into the impossible situation and say, impossible. And when you do that, you see the power of God beginning to work and to change things. Because God is love and God wants to change things and set things right. And God wants to do it first in you and then move through you and do it in others. And he wants you to introduce others to Jesus. He wants you to set the captives free. He wants you to bring deliverance. He wants you to move as he moved. He wants you to speak as he speaks. He wants you to be his hands, his mouth, his voice. He wants you to be his feet.
Amen.
And to do the signs, wonders and miracles. Now, I hear people in churches say, oh, that's all finished. That's all over and done with. It's not going to happen anymore. Well, guess what? I must be living in a strange time. I must be living in a different time cycle to anybody else, because we have seen signs, wonders and miracles. We've got them recorded on video. We've got them on YouTube. We've got them on our website. And they are there to say that Jesus today is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same. He's still walking through this earth. He's still healing the sick. He's still raising the dead. And he's still casting out demons in his mighty name. And he's doing it through his body. He's doing it through his bride. He's doing it through his people, because that's what he wants to do. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And God is going to use each and every one of you that is willing to make yourself available and spend time in his word, and let this word become a living Jesus in you. Amen. So praise God, and I thank you for what you've done today, what you've said today. Yes. Keep it up, keep pressing on, pushing through, because Jesus will be glorified, and the Son of God will be made manifest amongst us, and the glory and the signs and the wonderful miracles will be seen in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus. Lord bless you. Glory to God.
In fact, we've got some wonderful kids here. We could, yes, I was just going to say, have we got two volunteers? There you are. We're working together here, aren't we? These two would love to receive the offerings, praise God, that God's people want to give. So if you're ready to give, put your offering, hold your offering up. Father, I thank you that you have given so much to us, most of all Jesus, where it all began. Thank you, Lord, that you gave everything. You gave your best seed. You gave your most prized possession for us. Father, we cannot withhold from you. And so I thank you for a people here who have a generous heart, who love you and give, Lord, because you have given so much to them. And it's our desire, and it's our we're thrilled, Father, to be able to give to you today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You say, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Dawn tells me the children have had a really good time in Sunday school. And Ashley wanted to share what we've been doing in Sunday school. So pin your ears back and let's hear. Amen.
We're reading Matthew 5, and it was telling us about that we have to pray for our enemies and love our enemies. And last week of the 6 weeks holidays, my mate started being mean to me again. So I said I had it with her, so I started praying. And it's hard to pray for someone you don't love. So I did it, and then now we're friends again. So now I believe that Jesus has helped us to become friends again.
That is fabulous. That has blessed us all so much. Thank you, Ashley. You see, God, when we follow the instructions, we get the answers, don't we? The right answers. God answers prayer. So thank you to everyone. Oh, we're not talking about that, Bill.